For the Ides of March 2019, this is the Best of Rain. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Be advised, this two-part rain report interview about WWV and the Sun with Al Lotze, W6RQ, first aired in 1994. Al became a silent key in 2000. Here's Rain's founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP.
This is the Rain Report. The closer we get to the bottom of Solar Cycle 22, the more important WWV becomes. What's WWV?
National Institute of Standards and Technology Time. This is radio station WWV, Fort Collins, Colorado, broadcasting on internationally allocated standard carrier frequencies of 2.5, 5, 10, 15, and 20 megahertz, providing time of day, standard time interval, and other related information. Inquiries regarding these transmissions may be directed to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, radio station WWV, 2000 East County Road 58, Fort Collins, Colorado, 80524.
WWV transmits propagation reports at 18 minutes after the hour. Here is an example of one. Be sure to grab a pencil, crayon, or other writing utensil and make note of the numbers mentioned here.
Terrestrial indices for 25 April follow. Solar flux 83 and the Bouldering Index 6. Repeat, solar flux 83 and the Bouldering Index 6. The Boulder K Index 1200 GT on 26 April was 3. Repeat, 3. Solar terrestrial conditions for the last 24 hours follow. Solar activity was very low. The geomagnetic field was quiet to unsettled. Forecast for the next 24 hours follows. Solar activity will be very low. The geomagnetic field will be quiet to unsettled.
Alotzi, W6RQ, is intimately familiar with these reports. A longtime resident of San Francisco, Al has studied the sun and its effects on HF propagation since 1943.
Sunspots are visible things. That is, I look at the sun every clear morning when I have time, get out the telescope with the solar filter on the front. You never look at the sun through a telescope without a filter. This particular filter screws on the front of the telescope and passes 13 millionths of the light of the sun. That is, the filter looks completely black. You can see nothing through it other than a light as bright as the sun. What you see when you see spots are cold places. There are cold black places on the sun's disk. They appear as little spots of various sizes. Let's say the possible largest one we've ever seen can be 200 times as large as the smallest spot that your telescope will see. The spots normally come in groups. There aren't many singles show up. They like to congregate in groups. Now we have this 27-day sunspot cycle. The Earth goes around the sun. We get a 27-day picture. A sunspot which may develop on the far side of the sun will appear to us first on the east limb, the east edge of the sun. Now this is the exciting thing for those of us who want sunspots to come. We always look at the east limb first to see what's coming over the east side. They always seem to be born on the side of the sun away from us, and the new ones come over the east limb. Sunspots, as I say, take 27 days. If one's going to come around again, it'll come around in 27 days. That means that we get about 13 days good viewing of a sunspot group crossing the face of the sun. We hope that the time that a group of spots disappears over the west limb, some new ones are coming over on the east side so that we can keep a good steady group of spots out there to hold up the solar flux. The solar flux is actually a measure of noise put out by the sun on 2695 megahertz. We used to call that the 10 centimeter radar band. They point the antenna of a receiver on this 2695 megahertz, point the antenna at the sun. You take what we might call in amateur parlance an S meter reading and measure the level of that signal put out by the sun. We discovered this sort of thing during World War II. We would point the 10-centimeter radar at the sun to bore sight the antenna to make sure that the antenna lobe was really pointed at what we thought it was. At Boulder, the duty operator has right in front of them the outputs of three magnetometers, which are reading the Earth's magnetic field in three planes, let's say north, south, east, west, up, down. These are continuously running magnetometers at Boulder, which are measuring the intensity of the magnetism of the Earth. They just draw a little, almost straight line all the time, and what we're looking for are deviations, that is, bumps in the line. These bumps, these deviations, are calibrated, we might say, in these K figures. K numbers are changes in the Earth's magnetic field. Not what the field is, but variations in the Earth's magnetic field. The numbers go from 0 to 9. 9 is the maximum. Change in the magnetic field of a K index of 9 would be a super major geomagnetic storm. That would be a monster. I don't think I've ever heard or seen a 9 printed. We do find 8s at very high latitudes. Anchorage, Alaska magnetometer will give us 8s sometime. The instantaneous K index will not, to us, be reflected too much in radio propagation unless it's a high K that follows after a flare. We go along normally living with Ks of 2s and 3s and 4s with no big problems. When you hear an announcement, the K is 0 or the K is 1, good times are ahead. That is, a very quiet geomagnetic field is going to be reflected in the optimum propagation conditions for that time, that is, that degree of sunspot activity and that solar flux measurement. The K numbers are given for a 3-hour period, that is, when they say the K index at 1800, they give you the maximum disturbance in the previous 3-hour period. It's not an average or anything, it's a maximum. The little pin moved a maximum of 3 during that 3-hour period. They take the 8 3-hour periods for a 24-hour day, change those into the A numbers. It's too bad that the A index and the K index are on different scales. The A is an average measurement. Where K varies from 0 to 9, the equivalent A's vary from 0 to 400. Let's see, a K of 2 is an A of something like 7. If all of the K's in one day ran 2, let's say, the A index would average out to be in the 5 or 7 range, which would be a good low A index. Remember, the A index is for the previous 24 hours, a 24-hour average, given on the A scale between 0 and 400.
You're in the middle of a presentation by San Francisco resident Outlot CW6RQ, who has studied the sun and its effects on HF propagation since 1943. Now, when we come back, you'll hear another example of a WWV solar terrestrial report. This one issued in 1979, the peak of solar cycle 21. You'll also hear Al's analysis of that report. All this in a moment. This is the RAIN Report.
You're listening to the RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
When we listen to these numbers in the morning, as radio amateurs, we want a high value of solar flux and a low value of the A index. The particular K index we're given at that period won't be too meaningful to us. We don't really notice that. There is obviously some time-like thing here. The K can jump up and down during a 24-hour period, but we'll find that the A number is the one that's going to tell us what propagation is going to be that day. Things don't change fast. We quite often find that a good low A number yesterday is going to help us today. If today's A is 10, but yesterday's A was 2, it's still going to be a good day. It becomes a fetish to some of the radio amateurs. We hear them talking on the DX Club repeater about, oh boy, we got an A index of 4 today. They begin to live for that number. Sometimes on WWV, after a big flare, they will give you the size of the flare. A C flare is the little one, then an M flare is the next range, and an X are the big flares. These numbers are in X-ray intensity. That is, the X-ray radiation from the sun intensity is given in these CM numbers. After that, they may say a 2B or something, a 2 bright. That's the optical intensity. That is, that's how bright it would look to you looking through a telescope. Some 24 to maybe 48, 56 hours even, after the high-intensity X-ray measurement of a flare, slow-moving ejected particles get into the Earth's magnetic field and disturb it. The disturbed Earth's magnetic field disturbs our ionosphere layer. The ionosphere layers, remember, are composed of electrically charged particles, and electrically charged particles get moved around by magnetic fields. We like to have these nice plain sheets of E layer and that to reflect our signals off of. A badly disturbed magnetic field bends up our reflecting mirror, we might say, to oversimplify it. And that's when the propagation goes to pot after a large solar flare. After the WWB gives the numbers, they'll say solar conditions were, then they give a forecast for the coming 24 hours. As far as the geomagnetic forecast, we like quiet. We like quiet. We'll settle for unsettled. That means the K's will go up a little bit. But once they get into minor storm and major storm, then we're going to have that reflected in our propagation problems. Quiet means that the K won't go above 2, let's say. Unsettled means the K's will run around 3 and maybe up to 4. Active means K's will be in the 4 range. Minor storm, you may get a K up to 5 during the period. Major storms, K's could get up into the 6 or 7 ranges. There are precise ranges there for these terms.
Solar terrestrial indices for 9 November 1979 follow. Solar flux 325 and A index 17. Repeat, solar flux 325 and A index 17. The Boulder K index at 00 UT on 10 November was 4. Repeat, 4. Solar terrestrial conditions for the last 24 hours follow. Solar activity was high. The geomagnetic field was unsettled to active. A minor geomagnetic storm began at 1300 UT. A major flare occurred at 0306 UT at class X1. Forecast for the next 24 hours, solar activity will remain high. The geomagnetic field will be active.
That A index of 17 is high. We normally think of it today, an A index of 17 would give us some pretty poor band conditions. But that extremely high solar flux makes an A of 17 almost insignificant at this time. We can live with a high A index when we have an extremely high solar flux. They're playing in opposite directions. We want a high solar flux, but a low A index. But that solar flux of 325 You can run 1 watt input on 10 meters and work the world when the solar flux is up there. That results in a very intensely ionized E layers up there. The signals will be refracted from the E layer just beautifully. With 325, we might find good E-layer propagation on 6 meters even. The sunspot number that day, I would guess, was approaching 400, which is awfully high. Sometimes I feel sorry for a radio amateur who starts out and takes his first steps in amateur radio at the peak of a very high sunspot cycle. He'll invest all his money in 10-meter equipment, thinking these days are going to last forever. Some of us, fortunately, started out at a very low period so that each successive month was new experience. Remember, there are people running 100 watts to a dipole who go out and get their first 100 countries at the low part of a sunspot cycle. And it just means you work harder. There is good propagation, but it isn't an everyday thing. You just spend more time waiting for good propagation openings at lower parts of a sunspot cycle or a sunspot cycle who doesn't really get up there. To recap the importance of the Bolder numbers, the solar flux, the higher the solar flux number, the higher the maximum usable frequencies are going to be. We want these geomagnetic disturbance numbers low. We want a low A index. Don't worry too much about the K. The K is a number used to calculate the A. I live in a world of the A index. Use 10 as a benchmark. If the A index is under 10, it just has to be a good day. When he announces a flare, particularly a major flare, then you might have a disturbance that day, but look out. 2 days later, you're going to have a disturbed condition that may last 2 or 3 days. So at the time of the flare, there's generally an instantaneous band disturbance, which will last a half hour. But then classically, we can expect 24 to 48 hours later, high K numbers, an A index which can go up even to 100. 50 would be a number that you might experience. Those will be in the period a couple days after they announce the flare. Then in 2 or 3 days, these disturbed conditions will clean themselves up, and we'll go back normal again, and we'll get our solar flux up there and our A index 10 or below. The flare will not affect the solar flux reading much. The solar flux reading will go along quite smoothly. It seldom takes a wild excursion, either up or down, concurrent with flare activity. For some reason, they do not go hand in hand.
Alot CW6RQ, a San Francisco resident who has studied the sun and its effects on HF propagation since 1943. When will we hit the bottom in the current cycle, number 22? And what can we expect from cycle 23 later this decade? Well, Alotzi will address these questions and more next time. For the Rain Report, I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP.
This has been another Best of Rain in which Rain's founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP, has been picking out some of the best of the Rain archives, something he'll be doing until May. The Rain Report updates Saturdays on therainreport.com. You can hear this hamcast on shortwave Saturday nights on WTWW from Lebanon, Tennessee on 5085 kHz. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming.